Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this program is World Watchers, and it's broadcast number 716, August the 26th, 1985. For those of you who want bibliography sheets of this broadcast with the sources of information, you can write to me, Mae Brussel, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel, California, 93922. For those of you who subscribe to the broadcast and get the accompanying sheets that go with them, I have put a black dot after the news items which involve deaths, specifically murders, because when I read my news stories, often hidden in articles are references to primary witnesses that have been killed, people that have been killed, even though the lead story doesn't bring up that subject at all. And so I put those black dots right by the side of that article, in that same article, just to see how many they're talking about and the circumstances. And there were so many deaths that I wanted to update with you now and share that I just went ahead and put black dots so you get an idea of what is going on. And each dot doesn't even represent mass murders, like 30 people for one item or 11 for another. I just put one dot to mean deaths. There was a story in the New York Times August 18th, Brazil unearthing corruption by a military regime. The president-elect was murdered down there. The new president that came in was formerly with the military dictatorship for 20 years. But they seem to be going along the lines of investigating, which they have to do because the country is going bankrupt, with flight capital leaving and diamond scandals and jewels and cash gone and the banks emptied. They're going into the job of unearthing this material. The New York Times refers to that banker, Mario Garnero, who's been charged with embezzling a huge private money from the Brazil Invest. And I mentioned Garnero in terms of his relationship to William Simon, former Secretary of the Navy, important cabinet member in almost all administrations of the United States, and his work with George Shultz and Henry Kissinger, and how Kissinger Associates came in as soon as the president-elect was murdered to help, in quotes, get the country back on its feet. And it mentions the contraband that's gone and the semi-precious stones and the emeralds sent to the United States. Then, just almost the end of the article, it says the longest-running drama is something they're opening up now, which was covered up was the 1982 kidnapping and killing of a magazine publisher, Mr. Baumgarten, and his wife and the boatman. And they came across papers saying that he was going to be murdered, that he knew he'd be killed, and he actually worked for the National Information Service, which is the pro-government newspaper that he was running. And even though his life was threatened and it was in these notes, this was ignored until the administration changed. And now a district attorney is looking into the case and finds that a member of the Information Service itself, similar to our USIA or Radio Free Europe or Radio America or the CIA intelligence news part of our intelligence apparatus, a member of that group actually participated in the kidnapping and knew about it. So even though they're talking about corruption, they get right down to the murders. Now, if any of you have any doubt that Samantha Smith's plane just went down because of the weather, then you believe in the Tooth Fairy and you shouldn't be listening to Mae Brussel any further. I believe this was a very good lesson to a young really a child at the time who wrote to Yuri Andropov and said that she thought our countries could coexist. She was invited to the Soviet Union, wanted us to put away our weapons, that poor little thing killed in an airplane crash over Maine, and all the peacekeepers are slaughtered and the warmongers live. You don't see anything like this happening to those people. Another problem that happens every year when school starts is that certain college people with a lot of potential, particularly blacks and Chicanos, are murdered. I've saved these for years. I'll add them up and share them with you sometime. Washington Post has a long story this past week, August 13th, a Harlem puzzle, the death of Edmund Perry. Edmund Perry was shot by a bullet from a policeman that went into him, killed him this summer where he was standing in front of his home in Harlem. He attended Phillips Exeter Academy, the renowned New England preparatory school. He planned to enter Stanford University this fall. He was an engineering student at Cornell University. gunned down in Harlem, and he doesn't have to go to the blacks, white school and compete and have the mobility that blacks would have economically and in fields of education and decision-making. Many of them, men and women, have these terrible accidents, and this was a police killing just prior to going into Stanford that begins their administration this week, the new semester. Another murder of a peacekeeper, the Sikh leader, I'm sure all of you read that, Harshan Singh Longowal, Longowal, who wanted to get along with Rajiv Gandhi, a moderate who wanted peace. He was gunned down by another Sikh. So long, Mr. Peacekeeper in India, that's what we think of your peace. Meantime, the United States has escalated their funds to Pakistan. Mr. Gandhi is furious about that, and he's furious about the school that trained people to make assassination attempts on him or his friends and even suspect in the Air India flight. Another Indian was killed, a member of the parliament who was elected last year in December, a close friend of Rajiv Gandhi, Lalit Makan. His wife and their driver were killed. So even though there's one black dot on the article, there were three deaths. You can start adding these up. He was shot, and the suspect in that case, I read in the newspaper, is none other than Lal Singh, mentioned in a newspaper, the Press Trust of India. Lal Singh is wanted in the United States. You know how badly he's wanted. He just slipped out of here. He's wanted in the United States for conspiracy to murder Indian Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi on his visit here in June. He's also a prime suspect for last week's murder of Indian parliamentary Lalit Makan and his wife. The police say that he allegedly drove the getaway car. The vehicle is run by him. He used the getaway car, drove that away, and he's wanted. Now, that same person was trained down in Alabama with Mr. Franklin Camper. Franklin Camper made the front page of the Wall Street Journal last week with an article about his seminar on teaching how to cut throats, how to cut ears off, how to torture. It's titled War Games in Alabama's Woods. Franklin Camper trains men to repel invaders. Prep school for mercenaries has notorious graduates. This is a fellow whose camp I mentioned going back to 1981, by April of 81, that I thought had the silencers that tried to kill Ronald Reagan in front of the Hilton Hotel that involved Nazis and posse comitatus. And Mr. Camper has links to the men that tried the invasion of Dominica, the Klan, and the Nazis, also tied to a Texas coup plan run by John Connally and Texans. And Connally, of course, was part of Permandex, the operation that was set up for political assassinations, heads of states such as Mr. Gandhi. And if you have a little free time, you can blow up planes, which they teach to do. And Samantha Smith's plane, I'm sure, got a Edwin Wilson send-off, or he working with our CIA, he was teaching Gaddafi how to do these things, or a Franklin Camper send-off. There's a whole army of people out there in every state now that can do these things. Now, when I was talking about the atomic bomb, the difference between Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I didn't have time on that broadcast to talk about the American bomb. Nagasaki was the plutonium bomb. It was dropped 3 days after Hiroshima because that's the one we went into mass production that was cheaper, and we wanted to test the difference in radiation and damage the two could do. But the bomb that fell in the United States in Philadelphia over the black community, made by DuPont with Tovex in it, T-O-V-E-X, was a bombing that is just as important as Hiroshima and Nagasaki in its own way, dropping bombs in America on citizens. And of course, we test them, such as Jonestown is black, the SLA led by black leader Donald DeFries, who worked with the Los Angeles Police Department, in this case, Black Homes and the MOVE organization. I mentioned July 29th, this is broadcast number 712, that the team that was down identifying, and of quotes, when I say identify, I'm making fun of that Joseph Mengele charade that took place in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And on that broadcast, I said that Ellis Curley and Ali Hameli and Lowell Levine were being sent from Brazil. Their next big show would be in Philadelphia where they were going to work on some kind of identification, and they would participate. They described it as a war that took place there, a war with several hundred participants. And I asked then, what in the heck is going on? What are they saying? Well, this past week, there were many articles about the Philadelphia raid. The New York Times, August the 10th, inquiry planned over bombing in Philadelphia. The use of a bomb that contained C-4, a powerful military explosive that has never been allowed in this country. And they said it was a less incendiary device. Killed 11 people, left 250 homeless. And the bomb that was dropped was a fabrication. What they told us they dropped was different than what they dropped. And the New York Times said the police has offered no explanation of the discrepancy. And a group of independent medical examiners hired by the mayor's commission have been brought in because they found an unspent bullet in the body of one of the MOVE members. I said they were shot at close range like the SLA. So I guess these hunky-dory medical team will be the ones in from Sao Paulo, Brazil, who can do a little more damage on the MOVE case. The scandal is the medical examiners, whether it's in Brazil, United States, in Dallas, or in the Los Angeles department where Robert Kennedy was killed, or New York City, where Nelson Rockefeller was offed. The medical examiners are part of the problem. There's an editorial in the New York Times, August the 18th, on the medical examiners and the confusion of the inquiry, the contradictions of the city medical examiner's office that said there were no bullets. And then later they find out, yes, in fact, there were bullets in the body of those people, and that they were testing a substance from Tovex, T-O-V-E-X, that they said was used for mining explosives, but actually was to come right down on their heads and bomb in the United States, and also to test the reaction. And the reaction of the people was, go ahead and do it. It was a good thing. You got rid of the fussy neighbors, and American people are literally just asleep to respond to these very important things. Each one of these, as I say, would take an hour broadcast. I'm just running through some of the details, and many of you have seen the MOVE stories. Even Time magazine asked the question, how big was the bomb, and goes into the discrepancies and how it's embarrassing and the superiors are being contradicted. It's not only embarrassing, it's all a bunch of downright lies, and we've been lied to for a long time. Now, another murder to take place not too long from now will have to be Mr. Michael Orlando. He's the one who worked with Raymond Donovan, the Secretary of Labor. The Washington Post has a story August the 9th. Donovan case informant may lose protection. He isn't helping to get Donovan off the hook, and therefore they want to take away his protection, and his attorney is saying that that is a tantamount to signing his death warrant in light of the many murder threats reportedly made against him already. The lawyer says he knew of no obligation on Orlando's part to cooperate with the defense. He was supposed to be working for the prosecution, and he said, I won't do any more testimony there, but I won't help the defense either. So now the Justice Department says, take away any security or change of identification. And of course, 3 to 4 people that we know of, 4 for sure, have been murdered directly involved with this case, but there may be maybe 10 or 12, we don't know. Another article, Donovan firm dropped as responsible bidder. With all of this going on, with his investigation going on and his mob connections known to the Justice Department, to Edwin Meese, Attorney General, and the whole gang, he's still been reaping millions of dollars. Last week they said that they'll stop giving him a contract for the Transit Authority bid. They paid over millions of dollars rather than give it to him because something is wrong. Now, as far as the Raymond Donovan case goes, and this poor Michael Orlando that they're sacrificing to be murdered, taking away their protection because they want him to switch from the prosecution to the defense, they called in David Crown, former director of the CIA Handwriting Analysis Laboratory, who was testifying on signatures and agreements that were Mr. Orlando's handwriting. Now, Mr. Crown was flown in directly from Sao Paulo, Brazil, working with those other monkeys down there, you know, doing their thing as far as the Joseph Mengele case goes. So in comes Crown to work on the Raymond Donovan case, and the other three were in Philadelphia and are there working on the MOVE case, all involving military operations, assassinations, cover-ups of the highest level, again, that all reach to the Odessa network that is operating very strongly in the United States. Now, I'm going to do 1 or 2 hours on the Killer Bee. I've outlined it all and worked on it. San Francisco Chronicle had a long story August 18th, just this past week, the real fight against the killer bee and why we may lose it. And I traced every city it's been in the United States, where it came from, Africa, and have narrowed it down to a genetic laboratory in none other than Sao Paulo, Brazil, where they're working on genetic experiments, and they went over and got the African bee, and when they were breeding them in Sao Paulo, they were killed by mistake, some of them. So they went back and purposely brought in more African bees, and then they were released. They're opened out of a cage, all of a sudden escaped, and they could travel several hundred miles a year. But these bees in California are inside a pipe in Bakersfield, California, and there's nowhere they could land except to be brought here to California. They're in the Great Lakes up north and in Cleveland, Ohio, but there is no explanation as of this day. And they will affect the pollinization of apples and fruits and the crops. And then the infestation that's on them in the East Coast, if it comes here, could damage the crops in California. We have the cheese poisoning, the watermelon. There's poison in wine. I could go on and on the food connections. There's so many now. Salmonella, the milk. But the bee thing is very serious, and it came from Brazil. And there have been quite a few articles, save those, and we'll do more about that. Now, the question about the president's care keeps persisting. The New York Times has a long article, August 13th, titled, Questions About the Care of President Persist. Now, they know something is wrong. These physicians don't come out and accuse each other, even though the doctors in Philadelphia lied about the MOVE case, and various times you read about people that commit suicide, and the family doesn't believe it. One in New Jersey, they dug up the body and it had 3 bullets in it. Well, questions about the president are being asked. The president's medical problems raise confusion and contradictions, the article says. Medical care one day leads to more questions the next. And they're not satisfied with what happened to Ronald Reagan. They said they're particularly sensitive because at 74, he's the oldest man to hold office. And after he was shot, the assassination attempt, it took many days to confirm that the bullet had come to rest in a section of the lung about 1 inch from his heart. There was a serious discrepancy in the first public account of the number of blood transfusions. Now, they're talking about that, and I said it was in that blood where Ronald Reagan's future problem would come, and I'm going to do a little more about cancer in a few minutes. The confusions and contradictions then and now might be dismissed as public relations attempts to protect the man in the White House and create the image of an unusually strong person that he can withstand pain without anesthesia. But the confusions and contradictions suggest the possibility of more serious problems about the way the staff has handled Ronald Reagan's treatment. And as I say, that I believe the problem began in the blood and the Secret Service lying, the FBI lying to the surgeons, holding back information. And remember, John Hinckley was a member of the Posse Comitatus with links to the Nazis, the far right in California, in Chicago, in Texas, and those people that would want Reagan, even though he's radical enough, to have George Bush, the CIA director, as president of the United States and shift this fellow out, because Bush worked with Bobby Inman and also with Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger, and that team for a long time, where this president was a newcomer like Jimmy Carter. He was visible, but he is not the man to take over the problems that there are today or that there were going to be. And so these questions still go back, even in 1985, August the 13th, New York Times, to the care of the blood and the treatment in the hospital in Washington, D.C., and that's where I said the problems began. Now, under the sunny sky of Santa Barbara, I don't know how many of you have seen that town. It's idyllic. It's very pretty. They do have some poor. They have transients that go up and down the coast that sleep on benches and in parks. And last year, a transient was murdered last December. But the most shocking thing to happen in Santa Barbara, not getting national attention, an article from the Los Angeles Herald, military prep students held in killing. And the insidiousness of this is the Rambo mentality of our president and the people, two people at a school, military school in Santa Barbara, who murdered a man sleeping in his sleeping bag in a park in Santa Barbara. Two prep students have been accused of murder. One of them was ready to start the Air Force Academy in September, in the fall, the other to go to Annapolis, to the Navy Academy. They murdered a man, Michael Stevenson, a 29-year-old transient. They went into town with knives. They were going to carry out what they called a guerrilla attack against other youth. Now, this country is having a war. The Aryan Nation said as of May the 1st, this country would turn into Vietnam. But these aren't just ordinary kids fighting each other out in a ghetto or in Harlem with nothing to do and a lot of violence around them all their lives. These are two young men who stabbed to death a person sleeping in the bench, and then they went back to the dormitory of the school and told them about it. They said they stabbed the man 10 times in the back, then they slit his throat, and the teenagers then left. They left him bleeding to death next to his sleeping bag. Then they went back to the dormitory at the Northwestern Preparatory School, a private school for high school graduates who want to enter the military academies, the elite academies that we taxpayers pay their education for, and they bragged to their friends about what they had done. And the roommates were so surprised that they made bets of $50 or beer that they did it, because the roommates didn't believe it. So the next day, that evening, they went down and showed some of their friends to win some beer and money, that they did, in fact, cut this man's throat and stab him. And the next day, four students went to the police and implicated two of the suspects, and they showed a knife that was used in the crime and bloody tennis shoes and pants belonging to one of the suspects. And one of the kids who turned them in was the person who was responsible for this story breaking. We don't know how many more there are. The article says that from the LA Herald, Northwestern Preparatory School has students that come in from Victoria, Texas, and Palo Alto. The two were arrested, but those are the future admirals and generals and Air Force high officers who go on in the world having tasted and smelled blood and brag and make bets in a town like Santa Barbara and aspiring to high offices in this government, because if you go to those schools, you usually end up in a high office. Now, James Kirkpatrick had an article this week on one of my favorite subjects that I fear. This was August the 12th, 1985, taking precautions against a runaway constitutional convention. Now, his reasons for not having it, and he talks about the budget that isn't balanced, and so forth, are different than mine. I know that the president is purposely going over and spending anything he wants and doesn't care about the budget. And David Stockman and others say the purpose is to pull us back to the Franklin Roosevelt period, get back to the Herbert Hoover economy. But it's more than that. Roosevelt's long gone, and it has more to do with making Henry Kissinger president of the United States, with William Graham of Defense of Daniel, not William, Daniel Graham, not this Billy the Preacher. I'm talking about Daniel Graham, Defense Intelligence Agency of the Star Wars, sharing his offices in Washington, D.C. with former advisor staff to the plans officer of the Pentagon, Fritz Kramer, and his proteges, Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger, in the news with every other article, their face and name. And Haig is in all these various scandals that are coming out new now, and I have to share more details on those two that Jonathan Quitney wrote for Wall Street Journal on Francisco Pazienza, Michael Ledeen, Ronald Reagan, and Prime Minister from Italy, Mr. Craxi, having Pazienza locked up, so this scandal, Pazienza locked up, so the scandal doesn't go up to the White House, up to Reagan and Ledeen and Haig, the advisors to the State Department, the Defense Department. These scandals are brewing, and Kissinger and Haig are proteges of mentor Fritz Kramer. Haig's name is in a lot of articles, and another I'll be mentioning in a minute, that the pot is boiling. So I think they want to change the Constitution and make Henry Kissinger president. For whatever reason, Kirkpatrick is saying be careful of a runaway constitutional convention. Now, one of the stories, there are several large stories going on simultaneously that I have mentioned before, and will outline it to simplify them for yourself and for you and for myself. But I do want to call attention again, because these items are getting more exposure in the media, and you can start collecting articles if you're interested and accumulate them until I sort them out along with you and add up what is happening. One has to do with the arrest of Paul Szekloca, S-J-E-K-L-O-C-H-A. Two long articles, one in Spotlight, August 26, 1985. I don't usually give them as a source, but they're making connections that David Emery has made to this group and to P2 and weapons and gun running with offices and agents in Los Angeles, California. The other is a long article in the San Jose Mercury, which isn't syndicated, but dated August the 11th, Smuggling Suspect, Dedicated Reporter, or Shadowy Spy. Now, the article in Spotlight brings in the names Michael Ledeen and Alexander Haig and very top people from the Defense Intelligence Agency, such as Lieutenant General Eugene F. Tighe, T-I-G-H-E, Jr., who headed the DIA in 1977 to 1982, took over the role of Daniel Graham when Daniel Graham then went to become the pusher for the famous Star Wars that is breaking up our possible d'entente or ability to coexist with the Soviet Union in any way but an arms race. And so this article about Szekloca makes the connections of people who do link directly to Francesco Pazienza, to the P2, to Henry R. San operation of guns and drugs, and it involves people from our Defense Department whose names I will detail for you. The other article, the Smuggling Suspect one from the San Jose Mercury, is a long story about Mr. Szekloca, who, among other things, besides selling $75 million worth of arms to Iran, it publishes up in San Jose area a magazine for the Defense Department, two magazines, one called Military Science and Technology, the other the Journal of CI, Counterintelligence Countermeasures, which has authors from the top Defense Department, science and intelligence experts and writers working for Mr. Szekloca. He used the name Cutter, Professor Paul Cutter, as a spy. He taught at Berkeley. He joined the U.S. Information Agency as a tour guide. He was picked up in the Soviet Union as a spy. And among other things, the San Jose Mercury story has, which I'll repeat for you again at another time, that writers for the magazine include David Atlee Phillips, former chief of the CIA's Latin American operations, David Oberg, a best-selling author in aerospace on space shuttle. I'll give you the other names later, but David Atlee Phillips is the gentleman who is suing Don Freed for his allegations that he was behind and part of the murder of Salvador Allende and the coup that took place. He was very much part in Chile of that entire operation. And David Atlee Phillips also founded the magazine of The Survivalist. He was one of those people that I described early this year in February or March of his role with Survivalist magazines. Now, the story of Charles Ng and the Wilesville Wilesville bodies, also in Cavalieris County, those two difficult names to remember. The common denominator between the mass murders of Charles Ng and Leonard Lake with their Nazi bunkers, these killers, is a woman, Clarilyn Balzaz, C-L-A-R-A-L-N-B-A-L-A-Z-S, who was married to the late Leonard Lake, who bit the cyanide bullet when he was arrested, and Charles Ng is protected in Canada. Now, the denominator, the common denominator between them, the law office of Chris Carroll and Stan Rosansky, is representing Clarilyn Balzaz. That is their attorney, and her family owns the property where they experiment, cut people up, and did these murders. And the attorney for the case of Paul Szekloca with the highest echelon of military is also the office of Chris Carroll and Stan Rosansky. They have more in common than just attorneys. They're big cases that involve mass murder, experimentations, work with Nazis, work with death squads in South America, and also a possible common denominator is an article I read in the San Francisco Examiner just last month. Police are looking for a San Diego drug dealer with links to Wilesville bodies. And I'll detail that for you because I still am questioning the John DeLorean narcotics, the possible links to the Nazis, and also the drug dealers in San Diego and the missing gold of Mr. Dominelli from Brazil, the scandals that go down from San Diego to Brazil, and the lawyers in common and the way the Charles Ng case has been hushed up in Canada where he went for protection. Now, that is a big ball of wax. I'm just saying that through the globe, I've taken certain stories and just copied from my atlas the places on the globe and marked arrows where these particular people meet and what they have in common. So when you come across articles on the Iranian weapons, the sell of Iranian weapons, a trial where they'll all obviously plead something guilty like Mr. Walker, so there won't be a public trial, there are more things in common between these two huge stories than meets the mind, and I'll do more about them later. In the meanwhile, we'll take a one-minute break and go on to some other individual and mass murders and just summarize what in the heck has been going on in this country around the world. It is very serious, and I don't think anybody, or hardly anybody, with the exception of a handful of people, such as David Emery and Nip Tuck and Charles Spears in Texas, have that full awareness of how this thing is going and where it's going and how it came to be. As I say, we'll take a one-minute break, and then I'll be back with you to discuss some more of these activities.